the burn the Lord gave me for today is God's timetable. You see, time is kind of, God ordered it for us, and it's essential in our life, from birth to death, also in our daily activities. But the important thing is to understand what to do with this time that God has given us. When I say God's timetable, His is different from ours. A lot of times we can't plan things, and we feel like that they should happen at certain times, and then sometimes they don't happen that way. God has a way of planning things and designing when things should be done and all. And ours is different. But if we look into the scriptures, it tells us about time and how certain things happen at certain times. Just like Sarah's been working very hard in her school. That's been her time. It's been her time to work in school. She's almost finished with it. And then it'll be time to move on and go to another level. And Samaya is still in school. Her time to continue in high school. And then over time, it'll be time for something else. So let's go to Ecclesiastes 3:1. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. God designed that. But we want to look at time and how we look at time and what we do with it. But then we want to look at how God looks at time as well. Verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Well, I feel like our time now is to build up here in Boley. And I'm looking forward to the Lord even increasing our little congregation and helping us to do all the things we need to do. This is our time. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. If you notice, it says, to everything there is a season and a time and a purpose, to every purpose under the heaven. So all of these things have their time, and there are I want to say, in a sense, good in their time. They are acceptable in their time. However, if they are done when it's the time to build up and you're breaking down, then something's going to go wrong. So we don't want that. And it says, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. I was thinking about how that lately I've been trying to get rid of seeing what things need to be gotten rid of. You know, some people keep too much stuff. It says a time to keep and a time to cast away. There comes a time when you need to get rid of things as well. And then it goes on, it says, a time to rend, which is to tear, yeah, like tearing a piece of paper or even a cloth. And it says a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. You know, if you speak in a time you should have kept silent, some of those things are not going to work out so good. So it's very important for us to realize the value of doing things in time, in their order. And it says on a time to love and a time to hate. You can hate the wrong and love the right. And then it says a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? We want to make sure that we do things in the right time. You see, God has a time. He has a time for things. He plans it, and that's the time that we need to be faithful in doing what he'd have us to do. If we don't recognize the value of God's time, we can get into big trouble. God has set in motion things to be done at certain times. And I was thinking about this, I've been thinking about it for a while, how that sometimes we as human beings, how we think, you know what? So-and-so is late. And we get kind of upset. And yet, sometimes God has them late for a reason. So it's good to recognize that God is involved in our lives and he sets in motion things. And sometimes he allows things to happen for a reason. I think about sometimes the Lord might say, you might say, well, I'm going to do such and such. But God sees something that's going to happen that's not so good, and he hinders it. And you wonder, why is he hindering it? But he does it for a reason. He looks at us. He sees the big picture. We only see a portion of it. And he wants to order our lives. And he wants us to fit into his timetable. When he wants us to do things, or when he wants to work things out. I can remember times I planned things. We planned something and ordered something, and it didn't come out. When we got the order, it was wrong. And then I've been trying to reorder and work it out, and I began to stop and think, you know, God may be hindering this for a reason. So let me go a different way. And so that's the way God works. Sometimes we think we got it all figured out, but God is looking and he's planning. I even think sometimes when we're traveling and say, I want to go, and I say, we're leaving here at 8:00. And I mean 8 sharp. That would be the way I would feel. And then it seemed like we can't get out of the house for some reason. But do you know, up the road, there might have been an accident we could have been involved in. The Lord could have delayed it or allowed us to not get out of the house when we wanted to for a reason. I remember one time when I was going to... I was working on my degree in Tulsa University. And I had a mind to go and take these books back to the library. And I kind of felt like, no. But you know, I overrode that and I went on. And when I did, I got in an accident. Could have killed myself, my niece, and my cousin, all three of us was in the car, didn't get to the library because my car was totaled. We came to a uncontrolled intersection, and a man just was going about 100 miles an hour in a residential area, hit me so hard that my car flipped upside down, and his went up an embankment and ran into a tree. But you know, he got out, and he left. So when the police came, they said that the guy who owns the car, they went to his house, he said somebody had stole his car. And so for that, they didn't hold him, but all the handprints were his, and they said he did look like he had something. He looked shook up when they interviewed him. But anyway, needless to say, I learned a lesson from that. Sometimes when the Spirit of God is talking to you and he says, don't move, it may be a reason. God's time. That wasn't God's time for me to go, but he was merciful. His time would have been another time because he saw that accident that could have been avoided. I learned a lot of lessons out of that. I was young, but I learned that God's timing is best. Sometimes it seemed like I got to do it. I got to catch this flight, or I got to go. And it just seemed like keeps getting hindered. It may be not God's time. So God's timetable is much different from ours. And we can't always figure it out. We need to depend totally on him. Let's go to 2 Peter 3. Starting in 3, but we're going to end at 8. That's the one.
Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But for this they shall willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed by a curse. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, designed to fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one.
See the difference in God's time? People now, they look and they say, some might think, well, we keep hearing the Lord's coming. We don't see it. I've heard that all my life and all this. But God's timing is different from ours. So it says in this that one thing, be not ignorant of this one thing. The day of the Lord, one day, is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God looks at time different than we do. But one thing for sure, we need to recognize, and not only recognize, respect God's timing about things. I was thinking about in 1 Samuel, it's 14, I think, 13. And we want to read verses 1 through 14, just to look at how that if we get out of God's timing, we can have problems. If you, those of us that know about King Saul, we know he had a sad end, but King Saul had a problem. He just couldn't do things God's way. He had to have it his way. And so he got out of God's timing, and it cost him.
Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Jabri of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent, every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitudes. And they came up and pitched at Michmash eastward from Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling.
See what a state they were in. Saul, he was a man of war, and he had been fighting battles, but at this time it looked like he was going to be overcome. And all the people were afraid. And this is what happened. But if he could just trust God, he wouldn't have made the mistake he did. So let's read on.
And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass.
Okay, stop just a minute. Saul was the king. He had no business offering burnt offerings. That was not his job. Keep reading.
And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering."
Stop just a minute. You see, he got afraid. He saw the people were scattered from him. He saw the Philistines were coming down. Samuel was the prophet. To offer the sacrifice would have been Samuel's job, not his. And he said he forced himself to offer that sacrifice when he knew it wasn't for him to do. If he could have just waited, but Samuel delayed coming. And by him delaying to come, he got scared. Read on.
And Samuel said unto Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. But now would the Lord have established the kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee.
So he put his hand to something he had no business doing. He got out of God's timing. If he could have waited on Samuel, which he should have, God had a purpose for letting Samuel be delayed. Sometimes the Lord allows these things so we could to show what's really in our heart. If we have a heart to do his will or not. So our lives are in his hands. We want to make sure that we are faithful to live and to walk in the timing that God has so planned. Let's go to Psalms 31 and 15. It says, My times are in thy hands. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemy and from them that persecute me. Our times are in God's hand. And we want to be faithful to keep it there. Not try to do things on our own when we shouldn't do it. Or not even if the Lord tells us to do something, we don't want to be where we don't obey him. We need to stay in his time. I was thinking about this is Christmas time and we celebrate the birth of Christ and we take time out to commemorate his birth. But do you know that God had a certain time for Jesus to come? He came in a certain period of time. Let's go to Daniel 2 and 6. He could have come earlier, you know, during some of the Moses' time or during some of Abraham's time or Daniel's time, or he could have come earlier, but God had a plan. And we want to have the kind of respect and honor to God to know that he's got a plan, and we want to make sure we are doing according to his plan. In Daniel 6, 2 and 6.
But if ye shew the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof.
You have to keep going.
Then answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation thereof it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me.
Okay, stop just a minute. I want to tell you so we can avoid a lot of reading. So what happened is King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He couldn't remember his dream. He asked his soothsayers and magicians if they could tell him his dream and the interpretation. They told him, if you tell us the dream, we'll tell you interpretation. Well, he wasn't for that. He's about ready to kill them all. So then Daniel found out about it and he asked for time, and they prayed. And God showed him the dream and the interpretation. So he gave him the dream and the interpretation of it. But what we're trying to get is what this dream meant.
I started 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and forever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings, he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealed the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who have given me wisdom made known unto me now what ye desire, what we desire of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter.
Okay, let's read, stop now. He told them that he knew of the king, the Lord has given him the wisdom, given him the knowledge of what the king. And then he started telling him what his dream was. Actually what this dream meant is what was going to happen in the future. And he told him it was an image. So each part of the image represented a kingdom, and it represented something that was going to happen. But then he said, let me get to the last of it. Verse 44.
And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
Okay, now, what this meant is there were going to be, he started with the head, which is his kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar. God has shown him what was going to happen, and down through what would happen after his kingdom, after on and on and on, till it got to the time when Jesus was come. Then it said, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom. And the kingdom he set up was through Jesus Christ. Notice that his time to set that kingdom up, to send his son, was not during Nebuchadnezzar's time. It was not during the other different ones right following him. But as time went on, God had a plan of exactly when he was going to send his son. Also, God has a plan when he's coming back. We don't know when it is. He gives us signs and all of that, but he's got a plan. God's timetable is very different from us. Right now, many of us, if we had a choice, we would call the world into judgment now because of all the evil that's going on. But God's timing is so different from ours. So, let's go on. Sometimes when God has his timing, we need to have patience to wait on it. Sometimes we might think it should be done right now. Something should be done now, and God is not allowing that to happen. Let's go to Psalms 41. Sometimes he wants us to wait. Sometimes he allows things to happen to show us ourselves. But no matter how he works, we want to be faithful to fit into his plan.
Psalm 41. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going.
Okay, that's good enough. When we wait on the Lord is going to bless. He's going to work out things as we should if we just trust his timing for things instead of trying to do things ourselves. I know sometimes young people that get marriage age, they get anxious about getting a companion, and they go out and get someone their own choosing instead of waiting on God's timetable. And many times it ends up in disaster. So we want to trust God for everything, whatever he tells us to do, whatever life gives us. But most importantly, we need to fit in his timetable when it comes to our salvation. If we don't, we may lose our soul. And we don't want to lose our soul. When the Lord speaks to us, we want to move. That's his time. And we want to move when he speaks to us to give our heart to the Lord, to him. So we have a few more scriptures here. We want to encourage us to give our hearts to God, to take advantage of his time. Ecclesiastes 12:1. The best time, God's timetable when it comes to salvation, is now. Not later, now. Sometimes people say, I'll get saved. When I was in Dallas, working for the Lord, I was sent there as a missionary when I was young. And I made a friend. Her name was Lyndia. And many times I would either rent a building or something, and we'd have service. And she would come. And so I talked to her. She told me, "Doris, I'm going to get saved." Those were the last words that I know of her saying to me. And so I moved from the area, and somehow we got busy and kind of lost contact. And one day I decided, I want to see about Lyndia. And I called, I couldn't get her, I think it was. So what I did is I drove to her house and I left a note on the door with my number and everything. And her husband called me. And he said, "Doris, Lyndia passed." I said, I'm done. And he said, she had one of those headaches. She would have headaches, and I've taken her to emergency, and she had one of those, and she passed. And after she passed, they found out why she was having those headaches. But the point I'm making is she put off salvation. I don't know if she got saved before she did, but I know she promised me she was getting saved, and she didn't, to my knowledge. So I'm saying we need, when the Lord speaks to us, we need to recognize that it's our time. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember now thy creator." Now is the time to remember your creator. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, "I have no pleasure in them." And this, in this scripture, it goes on and on, going through the different things that people go through in the evil days, which is like old age. While you have a good mind, while you have health, while you're able to make decisions, is the time to give your heart to God. Don't wait until, when you get old, sometimes your mind gets feeble. Sometimes you can't remember things. Sometimes things don't work out the way you would ordinarily be able to do. So you need to give God your time. Now, there's another scripture in Psalms 95:8. We want to make sure that we allow ourselves to fit into God's time. We can plan, but we don't have control over what can happen in the future. But what we have is today. What we have is now.
Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation.
Read that, the verse up. I think I probably should have.
"For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness.
Okay. So today is the time. Now is the time. When God deals with your heart, don't harden your heart. Just submit to him. And I have other scriptures, but I think I'm going to stop here. But I want us to realize that God's timing and our timing is very different. We might plan, but we don't know whether we'll be able to fulfill those plans. But what we do know, if we will submit to God in the time that he gives us, then we will reap the benefits. But if not, we could be in sore danger. Pray for me.